B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what I just want to know, like, what do you think about, like, that type of scenario? Because, you know, Joel Embiid got game, but he doesn't have nobody that he can actually rival to put him in the scenario for him to win and make his game better.
I mean, it's like, it feels like the rivalry, DeMarcus Cousins, depending on how good you'll think he'll be when he comes back, that's a good rivalry. Al Horford's now here. That was a good rivalry. Hassan Whiteside is where now? Where did he end up? I'm blanking on where
Minnesota.
He ended up.
Minnesota? No, Portland.
Portland. So, yeah, again, Portland. Another one out Sorry. West. But really, Joel Embiid seems to have a rivalry with anybody he steps on the court with because he talks so much trash. So, that's not something I'm too worried about, but thanks for the call. I look forward to watching Joel Embiid battle guys,
yeah,
no matter who it is.
I kind of know what he was getting at, like the big man or the head-to-head rivalries and similar positions. Like Bird and Johnson, even though it was one power forward, one was a guard, they matched up an awful lot. I guess that's what he was looking for. Yeah, you're not going to see it because teams don't go with... There's not a lot of dominant big men in the NBA anymore besides Joel Embiid.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. And on the line with us right now, brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective, rothmanspine.com. A guy that made me feel warm and fuzzy when I started my day today because I read that it's just 50 days to the NFL season starts, the 100th season. That was your tweet, Adam Schefter. Thank you for making me feel good to start my day.
Good morning, Mark, Trey, Bob, Philadelphia. Hope everybody's doing well. And yeah, 50 days to the start of the season, 15 days to the first preseason game. The Denver Broncos actually report to training camp as a full squad, not just the rookies. And we got the rookies in Arizona and Seattle and Baltimore reporting to training camp today as well. So, I mean, I guess here we go, right? Like, that seems to be the sign that when you got a full team in camp today and you got a few other teams sending their rookies to camp today, and it's 50 days to the season and 15 days to the preseason opener, I don't want to say football is back, but I would say football is almost back.
It is almost back, yes. And as you say, people are reporting for training camp. Trey Thomas over here has a little twitch to him right now.
Yeah, I hate training camp.
You know, but Trey, look, how much easier is it today?
I know.
I mean, it's honestly, like, I remember, you know, when I was in Greeley, Colorado, on the University of Northern Colorado campus for 15 years, watching the Broncos practice, I mean, it was two-a-days most days. Two-a-days.
Full pads.
And full pads hitting. Like, it's not like that anymore. It's just different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, basically, you know, like somebody said to me last week, they said, well, what are you doing the rest of the summer? I said, my summer's over. And, that you know, that's what it is. And the players, it's really over.
Oh, yeah. Everybody right now is a little sad.
Yeah, you get to July 17 and, you know, kiss your loved ones goodbye and ship off to work.
Yeah, your body will never feel good again until next year around this time.
Well, how's that body going to feel for an NFL player, Adam, if in fact this 18-game schedule gets approved? And I do believe the NFL's headed there no matter what. It's just a matter of when they get there. It came out that players would play 18 games, but you might only have them available for 16 of the 18 games. There might be another bye, fewer preseason games. With this new collective bargaining agreement already being talked about, how do you think this ends up with 18 games?
Well, I don't think it ends up with 18 games at all.
Ever?
I don't.
Ever?
Well, I'm never going to say never.
Within the next 5 years?
No.
Okay.
It's not going to happen.
Good.
All right.
I don't believe that at all. And again, they are gathering today, the NFL and the NFLPA in Chicago, for three straight days of talks, today, Thursday, Friday, to try to make some headway on a new CBA. And when that new CBA is done, and I don't know whether they get it done by the start of the season or during the season or sometime in the next year or so, but when they get that done, and it certainly sounds like they're going to have a real chance to do that, I think that we will see changes. First of all, there's a lot of changes that are going to take place. You know, some of the biggest changes will be not just in the next television deal, which really isn't related to the CBA so much as it is the media rights deal, because how is the NFL going to be consumed? How is they going to distribute it? after 2021? Is it going to be like Amazon and Netflix? Right. And we don't have, in terms of the CBA and the schedule, I just don't see 18 games happening. Now, if the owners want it bad enough, they could always make it happen. And if a player makes, I'm making this up, $500,000 a game, he's got a $8.5 million salary for the year, and players are paid over 17 weeks, as Trey knows. Would each player be willing to play two more games for another $1 million a year? I mean, you know, everybody's got a price.
Right.
I just don't see an 18 game schedule happening. What I do see is I see a reduction, if not an elimination, of preseason games.
Okay.
Because everybody knows that that's something that it's just not a good product.
Right.
The league knows it. The fans know it. The teams know. I mean, everybody knows. You watch that, and fans should not have to be made to buy those tickets, but they are. And I think what you may see is there are a couple of things. You may see a shortened preseason and an expanded postseason where there are seven teams in each conference making the playoffs, one more in each conference, where only one team gets a bye and the other six play on the opening weekend. And then you go on from there, which could equate to a lot of extra media rights money. Or you may see a 17-game schedule where, again, maybe it's eight home games, eight road games, and everybody is ruled to play one international game.
Oof.
And that way you grow revenue that way. So, again, I don't know whether it's going to be the expanded postseason, the expanded regular season, but I really feel confident we're going to get a reduced, if not eliminated, preseason. And then the question is what they want to do with that and what's the best option? What can the players live with? What's the most lucrative? How do they want to go from there?
What do you think would hold up the players' union with 18 games? Would it be just the wear and tear on the body, the health factor, or what would it be? Because you would essentially also, I would assume, expand more rosters. What do you think would be the big hold up from the players' perspective?
Well, listen, the NFL's big mission, one of the big missions, has been, you know, player health and safety. How can you realistically make that argument by saying we want to add on two more games? Mm-hmm. Like that's not right. Come on. That's not right. That's not real. And from an NFLPA standpoint, they've also fought for players' safety and time off and lighter practices and no tour days, and Trey would have been feeling fresher today.
Yes.
So, they put a lot of emphasis into that. So if you all of a sudden now go to 18 games, then you're giving up on that. So now look, could the owners sweeten the pot so much? Could it be so important to them that somehow everybody goes to make 18 games work? Sure. I mean, there's a price for everything in life, right?
Of course.
Okay. I don't see it happening. Doesn't mean I'm right. I don't see it. Mm-hmm. I just think there are other options, other scenarios that are more realistic and more viable. But that's what these talks in Chicago for the next 3 days or four, that's what these talks will be for until they get a new CBA hammered out. And everybody will get to bring their own agendas and desires and priorities to the table for everybody to decide on what's right and what's not.
All right, speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Adam, I want to ask you about Ezekiel Elliott and the contract in Dallas. Reports are he might hold out. How do you see that whole thing falling into place?
I think that it will just break Eagles fans' hearts to hear that. I think it's an issue. I really do think it's an issue.
That's why I ask. I want to make our listeners happy.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I'm here to make the people in Philadelphia happy this morning. We'll smile at it. I think that there's an issue there. And I think it's an issue because, really, the Cowboys, I don't think, are going to pay Zeke right now. And if you're a running back, you better get it while you can. And so I think their priority is to pay Dak and Amari and Byron Jones and Jalen Smith and some of the other guys. And look, you know, with Zeke Elliott, and this again comes back to the CBA talks that they're having in Chicago today, the Cowboys have Zeke on the fourth year of his contract, and then they have him on the fifth year option. So if you look at what Zeke he's going to miss the next 2 years. Why would the Cowboys feel compelled, other than taking care of their guy and doing the right thing, to go redo the deal? And if you're Zeke, you're going to redo the deal now. There's no way you could expect full value like you would if you were on the open market. And the problem with the CBA the way it is now is a running back has to play, if he's really good, he's going to have to play 5 years before he can get free agency. And then the team could franchise you a couple of times. You know, a la Le'Veon Bell, you look at that. And so now you're 7 years in before you, like, it's crazy. Like that, and you're used up as a running back. So that is something that has to be changed in the next CBA. They've got to somehow limit these franchise tags. They've got to give, I think, especially running backs, the ability to be able to hit the market and get their work. The system, the way it is constructed now, is not conducive to a guy like Ezekiel Elliott cashing in. Now, he's going to have to do what he feels like he has to get that new contract. Maybe that means withholding his services. If he does, the Cowboys certainly are not the same team. But, you know, if you're Ezekiel Elliott and you've had a suspension and you've had some off-the-field issues, like, now you want to go hold out? Like, that's the name and brand and reputation you want to build. And I get it because, look, ultimately it's in the name of taking care of yourself and your family and doing what's best for you, and he should be doing what's best for him. But I don't know, in this case, what is best for him, to be honest.
Shefty, we haven't heard much on the Malcolm Jenkins front since he came back to mandatory, pre-training camp a couple of weeks ago. Have you heard anything more on that and where that may be? Or if not, how do you think it'll play out?
I don't think you'll hear much of that this season. I think it will be a quiet issue. I think that the conversations that they've had kind of address the concerns and led everyone to believe that, you know, this will be addressed at the appropriate time. If it hadn't been, he wouldn't be here right now. And if it hadn't been addressed to Malcolm's satisfaction, it would have lingered on. And again, I was one of the ones who thought it was going to linger on. So whatever it was that the Eagles said to him made him feel good enough to change his stance entirely and come in. Now, I don't know whether that means, hey, you know, we'll redo the deal after the season, or we'll take care of you at a certain time. We'll see. But they assured him in those conversations enough that he's going to be there, and I don't think that that issue becomes an issue again this season, during the season.
All right, Adam, we'll channel NBA Adam here for a second, because I have some news for him that I think is going to make him excited.
Mm.
Now, I doubt this guy's available in your fantasy. Do you have a keeper fantasy basketball?
No, we don't. And
okay.
Actually, I just sent out to the commissioner that I want the draft Sunday night, October 20th, which is two days before the start of the NBA season. So we haven't even drafted our NFL rosters and our 16-team ESPN War Room League yet, and I'm already planning the NBA fantasy draft for Sunday night, October 20th.
He's always prepared. He is always prepared.
Well, I just want to give you this little insider information here, because I want to give you the scoop. We had Elton Brand on yesterday, Chief Beef himself. We had Elton Brand on, and he said that Joel Embiid is going to come back in shape, and he also said that Ben Simmons will definitely have a mid-range game.
Well, listen, I've got no problem.
There you go.
Taking Sixers high in my fantasy draft. You know, let me say this though. Roto World did a ranking like of the first 50 players in the NBA draft, like what it would look like a fantasy draft at this point in time, and it was pretty amazing to me. I'm going to read you, the top of the draft. Well, here we go. Okay, so I want to read you the first 20 picks. Do we have time for this? Okay.
Barely.
Give me the first 10.
Steph Curry, Giannis, Harden 3, Towns 4, Anthony Davis 5, Damian Lillard 6, Jokic 7, Paul George 8, Embiid 9, Gobert 10, Beal 11, Zion 12, Kemba 13, Trae Young 14, Drew Holiday 15, Russell Westbrook 15, Devin Booker, Russell Westbrook 16, Devin Booker 17, Vucevic 18, LeBron 19, Mitchell Robinson 20, Kyrie Irving 21, and Luka Doncic 22. So Mitchell Robinson is one slot behind LeBron James.
Wow.
One slot ahead of Kyrie and two ahead of Luka Doncic.
This is why I don't play NBA fantasy. This is why I do not play NBA fantasy.
Yeah.
That is bonkers, Adam. That is absolutely bonkers. We got to run, but Adam.
Shefty, real quick, sorry.
Yeah.
Great report on the book.
Oh, your wife enjoyed it?
She enjoyed it tremendously. Shefty and I were texting this weekend.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, she enjoyed it just like I did about a year ago. Enjoyed it tremendously. She says, Donna wanted me to pass that along to you.
What, the notebook?
Well, thank her. I appreciate that. Very kind and really very nice.
Is that the man I never met?
Yes.
The man I never met.
Awesome book.
Fantastic. All right, Adam Schefter, thank you so much for coming on, man. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you as well. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic 815.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Jamie, you had a little bit of a tidbit of information here regarding the Matt Gelb story. Matt Klentak, 3-year extension. Andy McPhail, 3-year extension. Yeah. The story broke earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Matt Gelb put
real
it out
early.
There.
Yeah. Like 6:45, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Apparently, this was agreed to in spring training. Now, the Phillies, philosophy with executive contracts is to not disclose anything publicly, which would explain why it was under the radar until late July. So Matt Gelb did a good job of confirming that it did actually happen. That all it does is explain the timing of it.
Okay.
Which makes it almost even weirder, because if you announced it right away in spring training, then when they signed it, it probably would have had 100% approval rating, because we were all riding the Bryce Harper high, all the trades.
JT Realmuto, Gene Segura, Andrew McCutchen.
We were feeling great.
Yeah.
So
David Robertson.
Yeah. Like I don't know why you wouldn't have announced it then when it happened. By waiting until late July and they're struggling, you now have a 90% disapproval rating, as opposed to just doing it when it comes out. It probably has 100% approval rating.
Well, that doesn't. Yeah. And obviously this doesn't come from the team. It comes from a good report.
Yeah. It comes from a good report. But it's weird.
As of right now, a lot of people are not in favor of. Like, is it the worst timing because of what McPhail had to say on Friday? Or is it the worst timing because they lost 16-2 two nights ago?
That, and I think every Phillies fan that has blood pumping through their veins realizes they completely neglected the pitching rotation.
It is really weird, isn't it?
Very strange.
So they did what a lot of us did. I mean, we really fell victim to it. The only difference is we don't have to suffer the consequences.
Yeah, I'm on sports radio, not in the front office.
Right, but even for a fan, it's like, oh, this lineup, oh, there's going to be mashers in this lineup. Well, Rhys Hoskins hasn't driven in runs with plenty of guys that come. He comes to the plate plenty of times with runners in scoring position. I mentioned these numbers the last couple of days. He's top 10 in at-bats with runners in scoring position, yet he is ranked 91st in MLB, in all of Major League Baseball, 91st hitting with runners in scoring position. That shouldn't really go hand in hand.
No.
So then why not have the idea here now that, what, Bryce Harper's over 400 with runners in scoring position?
410.
Let me think for a second what we should do here. We have a 400 on base percentage. Excuse me. Yeah, 400 on base percentage with Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins should be batting third. Bryce Harper should be batting fourth. Make that simple adjustment. Maybe you actually start matching runs like you had last night. Because you were able to do all this last night without Rhys Hoskins getting on base for you. So, to me, it's time to make that adjustment. If you have Bryce Harper is going to be the marquee guy, right, the big cog in the wheel, why not have him be the guy driving in the runs?
How is it a dope like Jamie can come up with this thought on Saturday during his show with Andrew and Gabe still hasn't implemented it?
I know, right? Is he not streaming you? I don't understand it.
I thought Gabe was very tied into me.
I think he may have heard you today.
He's...
Let's just skip over that one.
I think you just made a drop for yourself. I think is what just happened right there. But I don't think anybody is really going nuts over this in terms of, oh, yeah, this is what they needed to do. I feel like in Klentak and McPhail, we trust. That's not coming over from anybody regarding the current state of this team. It really isn't. And it's crazy to think about the offseason that they had to bolster this lineup and what they hoped for with the rotation. Because, Bob, that's the word we've come back to time and time again. What we've hoped for with this rotation. Aaron Nola could barely win a game in April, right? And then May, he does okay, struggles, but he wins. And then starts figuring out a little bit in June and now is in the midst of a great stretch for himself, which is great to see. Jake Arrieta had a good five-inning start. With a bone spur in his elbow. Impressive, all right, but I still need more from my second starter in the rotation. People look at Dallas Keuchel and see what he's doing for the Atlanta Braves, and they're blown away, and they go, wait a minute, all it took was money? And your owner has basically already said, yeah, whatever you got to do, let's win. Mm-hmm. And you don't go out and get that guy? That would have been the best option for them to help their rotation, and they're not doing that. Now, instead of that, they're going to have to try to help their rotation if they are going to be buyers in less than 2 weeks now, the July 31st trade deadline. Again, the only one of the year, no waiver deadline this year. If they are going to be buyers, what are they giving up? Everybody in your farm system is somebody that you need to hold on to and cherish.
And McPhail came out and said that on Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not trading Bohm. You're not trading Mickey Moniak. These are guys that are no longer farther away. These are guys that could help you in a year or two.
Right.
I mean, Bohm could actually be up here in September, if not earlier, depending on how things go for him. Adonis Medina, are you going to go down to the double-A level for one of your best prospects to help out this rotation right now? I don't think the Phillies are going to do it.
That reeks of desperation.
It really does, but I'll bring it up, and there's a different regime, a much different regime. But they brought up Kyle Kendrick in 07 with Pat Gillick running things to help out the rotation, mm-hmm. and they ended up winning the division and making the playoffs for the first time, what was it, 14 years? So it's not unheard of, but rarely will they look at a prospect that they have as highly touted as a guy like Adonis Medina and say, oh, no, we're going to call you up now, because they're terrified of ruining the guy. They weren't terrified of ruining Kyle Kendrick because he wasn't really anybody. They just needed an arm, and he worked out. I think he was 10-4 from with an ERA in the mid-threes. Adonis Medina might be able to help you out right now. Why not give him the opportunity?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's not like you're leaping over AAA prospects. It's not like a Cole Irvin deserves anything more than he's already gotten. And look, maybe he turns things around, but he hasn't shown you anything. Why not? You need help desperately. You have three major question marks of your starting five pitchers, and a fourth who's pitching, like I said earlier, with a marble-sized bone spur in his elbow.
89% of our voting audience now saying they do not approve of the idea of getting a three-year contract.
Just announce it when the wave is high.
See, but announcing, that's not a thing, apparently.
Yeah, that's weird, too.
Now, the interesting thing...
It's almost like you're trying to hide something.
The interesting thing would have been... Now, this is still interesting, don't get me wrong, but would have been more intriguing and more eyebrow-raising is kind of to what Bob alluded to earlier. What if they would have come out... What if an announcement didn't happen... But a story leaked out that Gabe Kapler got a three-year extension. Like, that's the other side of it.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened. But what has happened is a story comes out about the guys that organized this team, the guys that actually pushed the buttons, are sticking around for at least three more years.
That's incumbent upon the team to announce coach manager.
It is. Yeah. Certainly.
We didn't know Sam Hinkie's contract.
Right.
You know, we had no idea, and he wouldn't tell us. I mean, I asked him plenty. He wouldn't tell. So for some reason, there's this belief that higher-ups don't have to tell you about other higher-ups. We'll tell you about the guy you talk to every day.
It's the circle of trust. It's the trust tree.
I guess so.
In the front office. That's the problem.
Matt Gill broke into that trust tree. He got it.
And he's going to join us in about 28 minutes to talk about this a little bit further. But speaking of the front office, because, Trey, we had the chief beef. Uh-huh. We had Chief Beef himself on yesterday. Yes. And I brought this up to Adam Schefter.
Chief Beef is in the building.
He was in the building yesterday, baby.
That was awesome.
On the phone. But whatever. It was really counting. He's on with us. And when two things that I took away. Well, three things, really. Two things about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Uh-huh.
One, Joel Embiid's in shape.
Uh-huh.
And he's taking his talent seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The other is that Ben Simmons is, quote, definitely, not even just definitely, Oh, definitely. About Ben Simmons coming back next year with at least a comfortability in a mid-range game. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely, is what Chief Beef told us. You're scoffing at it, Bob Cooney.
Well, here's where we are. All right, so
here comes the pee on the parade.
Yeah, a little bit. Elton Brand has all the times I interviewed Elton has a habit. Okay, Elton, Trey and Mark doing a terrific job on the morning show.
What do you think?
He'll come back with Trey and Mark doing a terrific job on the morning show. Definitely. And there's his answer. Elton loves the word definitely. Uses it a very lot in his answers to media questions.
Okay,
definitely.
Let me ask you this, there, veteran journalist.
Is that his? You know,
that's his go-to. It's kind of that thing. So Elton will repeat what you ask. Oftentimes, he did this as a player. Now maybe he's grown as a general manager. Mm. But as a player, he would like repeat something that you said and then say definitely.
So what did definitely really mean, though? I really don't think so. Or was it a?
But he said beforehand.
Oh, definitely. Improving his shot. Oh, definitely. He'll work on it.
It wasn't a throwaway line. It was a statement.
And perhaps it was.
I'm sorry, I'm springing this on you.
Yeah.
I'll see if we have this. If not, we'll get it before the show's out either way. But we'll listen to it, and we'll see if it was a dismissive, definitely. Like a verbal pause is what you're saying. A crutch, almost.
Like Thaddeus Young's was at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you just have to see him. He would give you a nice answer. But at the end of the day, da-da-da.
All right.
And Elton's was definitely.
All right, let's see if we have it right here.
It's a part of his game. He's been improving it, and it's just, like, I just want him to knock a few down so he can get it behind him and move on, because he's working on it, and it will come, and he's not scared. He just wants to make the right play all the time, and he feels like, hey, at that time, this wouldn't be the best basketball play. So we're going to grow it, he's going to grow it, and he's excited to grow it.
I think it was your follow-up to that question.
Okay.
Let me see.
All right, we'll try to get that. And it didn't come off to me as any throwaway line there. But anyway,
when
he confirmed that Ben Simmons will definitely have a jump shot, we'll get to that in a second. But the other thing was Joel Embiid being in shape. And then he all but said Kyle Korver without saying Kyle Korver.
Yeah, I think we all took that away, right?
Yeah. It kind of did sound like it a little bit.
Sixers are going to go get that shooter.
Oh, yeah, you need one.
Absolutely.
You need one that's going to come off the bench. There you go.
Did you say definitely?
Oh, definitely.
In Bob's book, that doesn't mean definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
But, like, of all the things that we talked about with him yesterday, I took away a lot more confidence. Like, I was already confident. You could call it naive, whatever. But I've watched Ben Simmons work. I've watched him work on that shot in pregame warm-ups and practice, whatever. I've seen the man put in the work. In the offseason, he seems like he is hell-bent on improving.
Did you see the shooting gloves? Did you see this in the picture?
I did notice that. What's
did
that
you?
About?
Yeah, so
I did not.
Somebody pointed it out on Twitter. So in the pictures of him playing against Tobias Harris last week, they focused in on his hand. And a shooting glove is something. So when you shoot a ball, as you guys know, you want it on your fingertips, and there should be a gap between the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
Exactly. So a shooting glove will go there so that the ball doesn't touch the shooting glove. You don't ever want the ball to touch. So it makes you conscious of catching the ball and keeping it on your fingertips. Well, he had those shooting gloves on.
Yeah.
In his workout.
Kind of helps create that pocket.
Are they legal? Are they legal during games?
I don't think you can
play with them.
I don't think so either.
No.
We're screwed. Now they're training wheels. Now I'm out. Now you're right.
Why not? He's using all the tools to train.
He's definitely not going to have them.
Why not use it?
He won't need them.
Why not use every tool that you can possibly get to help that shot?
Trey's right, but a lot of callers have said he's not even in the gym. So let's just take it for what it's worth. But he was in the gym.
Have you not seen him topless in the gym shooting? What more do you need in life than to know that Ben Simmons is somewhere in a gym topless and he's shooting?
Exactly.
That's a good thing.
Take comfort.
A man's working at it.
Like you tying yourself to Gabe Kapler or whatever you were doing a second ago, Jamie.
Tying himself down, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, analytics. You know, right? Am I right?
Analytics.
So that's what I could take away from Elton Brand yesterday. It left me feeling even more confident. But now I'm trying to think more about the definitely line that Bob Cooney's enlightening me of, and whether or not it was dismissive.
Look, it very well could have been genuine, but one of Elton's things when you asked him a question was, oh, definitely, and then he'd answer a question. Oh, definitely. So that's just something I noticed yesterday when you said he definitely would. I didn't want to break your bubble yesterday. I figured I'd give it a day before I broke it on the mark.
You would let me grow the bubble in the meantime?
Yeah, my bad. And I just like to hear it pop a little bit louder.
You're a sick man, Bob. You're like someone on a golf course that likes, like, hey, let me tell you what you're doing wrong. That's what you are. That's like, yeah, I'm out here to have fun. And then you want to critique my game.
No, that's not me.
Definitely not you. Definitely not you. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, top of the hour, Matt Gelb from The Athletic will join us. Matt has the story that Klentak and McPhail from the Phillies front office, the GM and the president, have been given 3-year contract extensions. Apparently, this happened all the way back in spring training in Clearwater, Florida, but it's just breaking now. It's out there. The timing is weird to try to digest something like this. The timing is very weird in that you have a general manager that, as Jamie pointed out, and a president that, if you were breaking this news in spring, everyone would be very pleased. But the fact that you're breaking it now, the timing makes it weird, with Andy McPhail basically having a very condescending tone, I thought, on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Being dismissive of the idea that maybe your manager isn't the right guy for the job. And then on top of that, giving us some kind of archaic formula about when you acquire and when you trade, when you buy and when you sell. And then Matt Klentak ignoring, maybe it's not just him, maybe it is Andy McPhail, maybe there is a price tag or a budget that they have that they don't want to go over, but Andy McPhail nonetheless, Matt Klentak nonetheless, not going out there to acquire an arm to bolster this rotation. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Again, Matt Gelb will join us coming up at the top of the hour, but I do have a show review for people, in case they haven't finished it yet. I know, Trey, you were getting into it. We'll talk about this show coming up in a minute because I finally finished the season. My review coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Trey, did you finish Stranger Things? Did you finish that up?
Yes, I have finished Stranger Things. It was, and actually my kids are rewatching it. Yeah. So that's happening right now. So anytime I go home, they're watching it again.
Did you start it as a family?
Yeah, it was a family thing. We all just sat around and watched Stranger Things.
And then you went back and watched it again.
Well, the kids were watching
it. The kids would
do that. So every time I come in the house, they're like, oh, yeah, we watched an episode, whatever. I'm like, all right.
Bob, did you ever get into it? Stranger Things on Netflix?
I haven't, but I really do. That's one of the things I really... I love the one kid in the show that does a lot of the commercials that kind of has the lisp.
I hate that kid. Yeah.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
I find him enjoyable.
Overexposure.
Yeah, the kid's
phenomenal.
Go away.
He grew up on that show.
They all did. Like, they all look like they were 40. Like,
the opening scene of season 3 looked like 270 skateboarders, like, making out.
Like, it was like, when did they bring in Winona Ryder's dad? Like, oh, that's her kid now. No way. Did they wait too long to film it? What happened?
Yeah, I guess.
All those kids hit puberty at the exact same time. They all, like, had mustaches and stuff. Like, it was wild, but nonetheless... The show itself, Jamie, let me get you on this. Did you?
I haven't finished yet. I'm waiting for my Addie to get home.
Okay.
My wife.
I'm just going to tell you right now. Thank you.
If I said Addie, people would be like, "What the hell is he?"
Okay, I don't understand. But let me tell you, I heard mixed things. I got to it late.
There was a lot of hate on it.
There was.
Yeah.
Which one? On which?
On this season of Stranger Things.
Yeah, I really didn't like this season that much.
Really?
Yeah. Compared to the other two. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I
think it's been. I'm only 5 in. I think it's been pretty strong.
I mean, it's cool. It seemed a little
too
punchline-ish. Like, there were too many like punchlines. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, right.
You know, like before, it wasn't as. It was a little bit more serious. I guess
it was a little bit more of a thriller.
Yeah.
This season, I felt was very entertaining. I agree the previous two were better than this one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that means that this is the worst season I've seen of Stranger Things.
But it's still good.
But it was still a great show.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Like, some of the things were a little far-fetched that happened in the show. Like, but I'm like, hold on a second. This is a sci-fi thriller. What am I doing? Why am I trying to be accurate here? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you can be outlandish here. You can be ridiculous.
Yes.
And but overall, like, for all the people that told me that, like, watched it the day it came out at midnight. Was it midnight on the 4th of July, I think it came out? Like, I watched it over maybe a week with my wife, and we loved it. Like, I absolutely thought it was great. I thought the writing was good. Mm-hmm. I thought the plots were good. And I think it built up for what could happen next season as well, when the kids were actually adults.
Yeah, there's going to be another season of it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Are Mike and Eleven going to, like, consummate their love?
Yeah. Like are they going to go ahead and...
Are you going to keep giving more away for somebody who hasn't seen it?
Well, if you saw season two, you'd know that they were a thing.
Yeah, I told you I haven't seen any.
I mean, what does she do it with his mind? With her mind. Just,
see, that would be the creepy thing.
Like, really just, you know.
Would you want your girlfriend to be able to, like, spy on you at any moment?
Even though my wife is kind of like that anyway. So.
Rosa is 11?
Yeah. And I try to tell the kids, you know, I'm like, son, listen, I don't think you understand. Like, you have a true bloodhound in here right now, man, that will track you down. You know, and see, you about to mess around and get all of us in trouble. You know, because now once she gets on the rampage and start peeling back the layers... You know, I don't know what's in you.
Rampage!
I don't know what you might find in a corner or two. I don't know. But you're going, you know, you're about to mess around and get everybody jammed up, man. Come on, man. Tighten up.
We should do a Stranger Things with the show and have Rosa as 11. Like, I like that idea. Because Jamie hates the kid. I'll be the kid with the curly hair and no teeth. Yeah. I'll put on a wig.
I told my wife, I'm like, baby, I think you missed your calling. You know, you should have been like a FBI agent or something. I mean, you know, anybody that needs to be found, bam, there you go. Give her like 20 minutes with a phone. She'll unlock it. Change the code and everything. You all out of
it. Well, I will say this. Hopper... Right, I forget the name of the actor.
David something or other.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's good.
He's, like, you talk about Chief Beef? Oh, he's the real Chief Beef.
Yeah.
Like, the chief of police, I was reading the things that said, like, he wanted to put on extra weight to have even more of a dad bod. And I was just like,
that's
hey,
the
man.
Role I need.
I was like, whatever you gotta do, man. Whatever you gotta do.
That's an awesome role there. At least you don't have to go in there and try to lose 60.
Do people, I don't know how it works, but, like, I was a little kid in the 80s. Do I look at that era... Like, I think it takes place this season of Stranger Things in 1985.
Uh-huh.
As a kid, do I look back on that because I was so little? Like, I was born in 82.
Uh-huh.
So do I look back on that with great fondness for that era because I was so little? Or were the 80s really, like, that ridiculous? And, like, that fun?
No, 80s were great.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I think,
like, people in the 70s, like, they were born in the 70s. Do you look back in the 70s like that?
I don't remember the 70s.
But I'm asking the question. Do you think that's how it works?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
And it's just because I'm 74, so I don't know.
Okay.
Like, I don't remember. It's like I said, I have memory issues anyway.
Okay. So. Understood. Yeah. Understood. All right. Now, who am I talking to? This person, is this a real name of someone on the line here?
It says George Mikan, just misspelled Mikan.
Well, but maybe it's a different George Mikan.
Is he alive?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he's dead.
I think I remember some...
What?
I think I remember a story. I know. I remember a story of, like, Shaquille O'Neal wanted to pay for George Mikan's death. Or, not death. Pay for his funeral. All right. I don't know. We'll see what happens here.
Yes. Died in 2005.
George, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
That's not really George Mikan. It's Sean from Newark. But you guys had such a great laugh last week. When I suggested him as possibly somebody that doesn't get respect as a dominant player, you guys had such a laugh, I figured I'd try to see if I could add some more humor.
Well, wait, man.
Yeah, we're still laughing about it. Yeah, so, yeah.
I didn't think I'd get to talk about George Mikan. I love to talk about George Mikan. So, Sean, let's talk about George Mikan for just a second. The man changed the game before Wilt changed the game. End of sentence. All you need to know.
Well, yeah, I actually called to suggest as Sixers point guard, but real quickly on George Mikan, there was two rule changes. He was responsible for the banning of goaltending and for widening the lane.
The initial widening of the lane.
Correct. You are correct, from 6 to 12 feet. That one other thing that most people don't know that he was responsible for was the three-point line. So he's affected the modern game as well. He was the one after he retired that was pushing for a three-point line. And if you looked that up, I bet you didn't even know that, did you?
No, my George Mikan knowledge isn't quite
Come
as good
on,
as
Bobby.
Yours.
Come on.
But anyway, final thoughts on George Mikan. He was a six-time All-NBA, five-time champion.
Yeah, you said this last week. Yeah.
Greatest basketball player of the first 50 years of basketball, and his nickname's Mr. Basketball. So, but anyway, I want to suggest a Sixers point guard. I figure I'd give you another laugh.
Okay.
How about Jeremy Lin on a minimum contract? He's an 8-year veteran with experience playing both the 1 and 2, and he's a high character guy. Yeah, so he wouldn't cause any problems. He'd be there. You could put him in at the 1, the 2, or leave him on the bench. Either way, you're going to get, you know, you can get him cheap, and he's 8 years in the league at this point. And I think that he does suffer from a little bit of Asian discrimination. What do you guys think?
I'm just evaluating the talent.
He suffers
here
from a lack of any more basketball games.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Oh my God.
Didn't see that one coming.
What's that dude's name so we know from
Sean from Miller?
Sean from Miller.
Yeah.
Good dude.
He's got good George Mikan knowledge.
I mean, a lot of George Mikan knowledge. He hits us with it every time. But
I'm just saying.
Lin Sanity, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd rather have TJ McConnell back.
I'm done with Jeremy Lin.
They'd have Jeremy Lin. But I'd rather have who we have, Raul Neto, than anybody else.
Man, Jeremy Lin had his moment, though.
Anybody else. Than Jeremy Lin, excuse me.
Man, when Lin name was hot, it was hot.
Oh, it was hot.
He was the man.
I remember Lin Sanity was a real thing.
Then Asian discrimination happened. I don't know.
Asian discrimination.
Was this because
what
I
does that mean?
Was this because I couldn't find the spicy mustard earlier in the show?
I think so.
I think that's the problem. And I saw the eels in the Chinese supermarket.
Oh, man.
And it was just freaking me out.
Yao Ming.
What's that?
That didn't affect Yao Ming.
Yao Ming?
Yao Ming.
Correct.
He didn't have Asian discrimination?
No. His foot fell apart.
Yeah, his foot fell apart. So that was
there's that.
That's what happened there.
Yeah, it was injury.
Sean just ninja'd my brain. So
so there you go.
Let's get an update on our triple. Because we're going to talk to Matt Gelb coming up in a minute here from The Athletic. He has the story on Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail getting 3-year contract extensions to be running the show for the Phillies in the front office. That's the deal right now. And if you look at our Twitter poll, it's still not exactly going well for those two fellas. Almost 2,000 votes, 89% of our voting audience do not approve of 3-year contract extensions for Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak. If you're looking at this, and I tried to set this scene earlier, from a business perspective, you're looking at Alec Boehm in the minors. You're looking at Mickey Moniak, who was a number one overall pick that just seems like he's starting to come into his own in Double A as a 21-year-old prospect. Boehm, I believe, is 22, 23 years old already. He played college, so that's not much of a surprise. Stott has started off his professional career rather well, but you're trusting these two guys.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.